discussion. Before we get into the presentation, Mr. President, members of council, I wanted to bring your attention to these three-ring binders at your desks. These binders were developed by staff here. I thought it was the easiest way for you to be able to review the material that we are going to go over today, as well as material we received in the past. Recall, we've had this conversation several times now. I just looked up to see last agenda item was in September when Mr. Schell, representing the foundation, made a presentation. Since then, we've had further information and update on some of the materials that we've been given. I'll draw your attention to what's in the three-ring binder, including a copy of the proposal under the first tab. Behind the proposal is additional questions that I received from council members and Mr. Schell and the foundation's response of those questions. An updated budget, there is an update to the budget. I'll make sure you're aware of that. That came in October, and we'll go over specifics on that, but the updated budget is contained in the three-ring binder. There are site plans. These are the new site plans, which you see on the screen in front of you, as well as in the three-ring binder. Letters of support from various entities, including the town of Georgetown, local clubs, general assembly members, and so on. Submitted comments. Recall when we had our first presentation, we suggested to create a comment section on the website so folks could submit their comments. Every copy of the comments that were received via the website are in the binder for you to review. By my count, we received 57 submissions via the website, whether it came through either directly on email or through the site. We also received a few letters, which we've included in there, a total of 62 comments and letters. And then finally, the last tab is the petition tab. We received a number of petitions either through clubs or individuals. By my calculation, we received 580 signatures via these petitions in support of this proposal. So with that, I would invite Mr. Schell to come forward. I believe he has a presentation mostly focused on the update today. And this is the intent of today is to answer your questions specifically. Yeah, I know you've had a number of questions, and we are presented with updated information as well. So, Mr. Schell, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Mr. Lawson, thank you. And thank you, Council, for entertaining more data again about the Sussex Sports Center. I'm Joe Schell. I live in Lewis, Delaware. I have two sons who live, one in Lewis and one in Rehoboth. So we have a vested interest in Sussex County and what we all do to make this a better county. This is one idea that we have that we hope you will entertain. Now, there's been some question about what our mission is, so let me clear up our mission by reading it. To create and maintain a first-class athletic complex offering 8 soccer/lacrosse fields, a 3-mile walking, running trail, 8 pickleball courts, and other amenities typical in a public park. All of this for the enjoyment of the people of this county and the sports clubs of this county who have, we have youth sport clubs in soccer and lacrosse and field hockey. We have adult sports clubs in both running as well as in pickleball, which you've heard about just earlier. What we'd like to do is to build a facility that you see here on about 57 acres. It's 57 acres, not in the woods. If you look in the woods, it's about another 30 acres or so. So it's about 70 or another 20 acres, a little over 70 acres total. That land has been donated for this purpose by a private individual. We think this is an important addition to all the many amenities we have in Sussex County. We have great schools, we've got great beaches, but we don't have great places to play for youth soccer or youth lacrosse clubs. They pick and choose around the county to find places where they can play, whether it's the back fields of a middle school or an elementary school. But other counties have much more public facilities than this. I was driving yesterday from Baltimore Airport down to Cambridge and then back Maryland over to here, and went through Talbot County and one other county, I can't remember what the other name was. But right on Route 50 are these big public parks that have fields for baseball, for softball, for soccer, for whatever it is. And I'm assuming those are public parks because that's the way they looked. They weren't gated or anything else, they were just open to the public. That's what we're trying to accomplish here with this facility. We think it's a great investment for the private sector. We also think it's a great investment for a public-private partnership, which is what we proposed, and that's what the proposal in front of you talks about, where we will be raising a little over $2.5 million from the private sector to go along with about $2 million from Sussex County, where we've asked for the leadership gift of a $1.5 million from the state and from the town of Georgetown. Those funds will help us build this facility. Won't pay for the land. The land has been donated, but will help us build this facility to what we think will be the finest specs that you can have in building something like this and maintaining something like this. We'll go through some numbers a little bit later in our presentation about what this all costs and how it's going to be raised, the monies are going to be raised, and how it's going to do once it's operating. It won't be operating, we don't think, until the springtime of 2019, so a year and a half from now, effectively. That's how long it will take to build it, to let the grass grow up so it's hardy and sturdy to stand up to the cleats of the soccer players and the lacrosse players. Before I turn it over to Zach Crouch, who will go through the schematic that you see in front of you, I want to introduce some people to you that are part of this, that are in the audience. Bobby Horsey, who's right here, is a vice president of the Sussex County Sussex Sports Center Foundation. Steve Burke, who I don't think is here, is our financial VP of the foundation. Tony Spazzato is on the foundation board and obviously has been involved in giving us good estimates of what it costs to cut the grass, what it costs to maintain the landscaping that we will be putting in, and what it costs for the landscaping itself. Bud O'Neill, who's the president of Peak Performance Construction. They're a specialized firm putting Bermuda fields in all over this state and other states, but they're located in Smyrna. So if you go to any sports facility, soccer game up in Smyrna or in Harrington or wherever you go, and if there's a Bermuda grass field there, chances are Bud was the guy who put it in. So he's the gold standard in this part of the world for putting in Bermuda grass fields, which is all of our fields will be Bermuda grass. So no synthetic turf fields, just grass. Stephanie Parker, I don't know if Stephanie is here. Stephanie, are you here? Could you stand? Stephanie is the president of the Henlopen Soccer Club, and I'll talk a little bit later about the commitment that they've made to us. Both Dennis and Greg March are the founders and I guess co-presidents of Saltwater Lacrosse Club. Kathy Casey, who you've heard from before, is the president of First State Pickleball Club. Is Kathy here?
Right here.
Hi, Kathy. And importantly, Zach Crouch will be coming up in just a minute, but I wanted to introduce you to somebody you know obviously very well, Bill West, who has been very much involved very much involved in this project, and would like to give you his point of view on this project, which is in his town. It's right on the outskirts, eastern outskirts of Georgetown. So Bill, come on up, and then we'll turn it over to Zach.
Mike, can we give him 3 minutes like we do?
I knew that was coming.
Start the clock.
Start in a yellow mood.
Mr. President, council members, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come in here and discuss this. Something that's near and dear to my heart is kids. Rob, your son wrestled. You had to take him to different locations to do wrestle tournaments. Sam?
I had four.
FFA, right?
Yes.
You had to take them upstate and take them around to participate in different functions, right?
Once in a while I did.
Yes. Well, and that's what we're trying to to not do away with, because we know that that's still going to take place.
Minimize.
But to give these groups a place to call home, a place to call their fields that they can play on a regular basis. Now, the town of Georgetown would love to be able to do this by itself, but we can't. To give you a little bit of information on our infrastructure, I'm $13.8 million in debt. That's 7.6.
Are you running for re-election by chance?
Yeah. And I'm probably not going to get it. It's 7.6 for the water systems. We've put in new wells. We've put in new pumping centers to fill the tanks. So we've spent some money. We've done a lot of upgrade. Sewer system, $4.3 million. That's infiltration. We've sealed our pipes to keep the rainwater from running into our sewer system. We've done the Pettigin Woods. We've extended that for a spray. Todd, you know about the spray system with the wastewater. Our facility, our new town hall. We decided last year to go to a referendum for a new town hall and to redo the old town hall. That's cost me $1.9 million. So right there you can see that I've got some debt that I've got to address. My debt service is $1 million a year. So for me to be involved with this organization and this commitment with a total money figure, I can't do it. 25% of the businesses and locations here in town, I do not get tax money from. That's the state buildings and some of the county buildings. We do get payment. Don't get me wrong, we do get payments, and the county is right, Mr. Mike, the county is right in line with everything they should be doing for us. Thank you very much. But the state is a little off course, to the tune of just about $250,000. That's a lot of money wasted. Not wasted, but it's a lot of money that I could use for different projects to make this town go. But I don't have it, and the state's not going to give it to me. So real estate transfer tax, we're down from 01 to 2017. We haven't had the transfers like we usually have. Tax rates, we increased taxes. 05, I wasn't here, so don't blame me. People at Georgetown, don't blame me for that. 07, I wasn't here. Don't blame me for that one. 2010, I wasn't here. Don't blame me for that one.
When did you get here?
But 2012 and 2015, you can blame me. Okay, George, thank you very much.
I thought he was always around.
So there were the two tax rates increase that we had to do to just to make ends meet. Every year we walk into the budget negotiation, and here we go. We've got to try to find money available from either water or sewer to make the budget meet. Every year we have to go through the same thing, and it's not fun. You guys know it as well as I do. It's not fun. Town support. Let's talk about that a little bit. We just had, they come through the planning, and we have adjusted the parking spaces out there so they can have more parking spaces. We cut down on the size that is determined by our code. So we've cut down on the size of them to give them more parking spaces. The entry was supposed to be 25 feet. We've cut that down. They wanted it 24 feet. We adjusted that accordingly to make it feasible for them to have the parking spots and the entries that they want to complete this project. We're going to take care of the dumpster. Emptying the, you said I'm trash anyway, Mike, so I might as well take care of the trash,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's not true.
I would never say that's not there.
But no, we're going to take care of that. The grass cutting out front. We'll take care of all the grass cutting. The biggest thing is we are going to provide police protection during events, and traffic control at the end and the beginning of events, because we know we're going to have a major inflow of traffic going into that place. And if that was a pay job, look at the money the state would charge for a pay job to be out there doing these. We're not going to do that. We're going to do that as part of the town to make things happen and make this work. Snow plowing, I don't think we'll have to do a lot of snow plowing because I don't think they're going to play soccer or pickleball in the snow, but that's available if we have to do it. These are ongoing things that it's not just going to be this year. It's not just going to be till the project gets up and running. These are things we are committed to do on a regular basis, on a continuing basis. Town support for one time. Consider the application fees. consider the reviews, consider the impact fees. They all add up, along with the police protection. So if you look at all them fees, we are well above $25,000 moving forward. And with the police alone, that would be a large sum of money if the organization or the county had to pay for police protection at these events. We're also investigating the possibility. Town manager just went to a conference where he saw portable bathrooms, not portable, but pre-constructed bathrooms that are brought in, built on what your specs are, brought in, set in place, and they're motion sensored. The doors are locked on motion, the lights come on motion, and there's motion sensors inside. So if somebody tried to lock herself inside there and sleep, the little bit of motion would indicate somebody's there. Our police would respond and take care of the situation. These are things that we're looking at for the future. This isn't just going to be a one-time thing for Billy West either. I would be out there on a regular basis making sure this takes off and making sure this is one of the best projects. Is it going to have an impact on Georgetown? Yes. Reason being, you take 700 kids playing soccer, and each one of them's got two parents. That's 2,100 people. Are they going to go to Georgetown to eat at the restaurants? Maybe. But are they going to go back to their towns that they're from? You know, my niece played in Milton. And when we left Milton, we come back to Georgetown to eat. But if this materializes into a big event that we bring in teams from other towns, yeah, they're going to need a place to eat, a place to sleep. Is it going to affect Georgetown? Yes, but I've only got two hotels right now, another one being built, hopefully. But it affects the whole county. When I go to restaurants at Texas Roadhouse, what do I see, Mike? Ball teams. I go to Walmart, I go to Applebee's there at Seaford. What do I see at the hotel there in Seaford? Ball teams. I go to the beach. I go to some of the restaurants there, Grottos. What do I see? Ball teams. Gentlemen, this isn't just a Sussex County thing. It is with the teams and the leagues that we've got here. But if it opens up to being brought in teams to play in tournaments and all, this is a big show for the county. It's not just for the town of Georgetown. You've heard enough from me. Thank you very much for the time. If there's any questions, I'll answer them.
I do. Mike, I asked Todd, I'll ask you publicly, and that is, this parcel is in the town limits.
Yes, it is.
Of Georgetown, and is not in the unincorporated area. So I know per the proposal, at some point in time, possibly speaking, this county would take ownership.
Yes, sir.
So if we own the property, we don't pay ourselves a tax. So therefore, in this proposal, as being the current mayor, do we, the Sussex County taxpayers, pay the town tax?
You yourself are going to pay double tax, but everybody else is going to be the same.
No. Okay.
we're going to keep things as they are. I do not have a problem with the...
What does that mean?
Well, I do not have a problem with the payment that the county's on now based on what they give us. This is something that has been needed throughout the county. It's just not needed for Georgetown. Look at the grandparents in Long Neck that are raising their grandkids now. Wouldn't this be a great opportunity to get them out of the house instead of on the computer games or the phone and have them play in the soccer and being friends with other people? How about the senior citizens? Cheers looking to expand. I don't know when, 3 or 4 years maybe. But the walking path. Look at the opportunity for these seniors to get out and watch soccer being played or just take a 3-mile walk before going back to their house. This has an impact. And this county's getting older. This county's getting older. I deliver meals for cheer. And gentlemen, let me tell you, there's some people in some of these houses that need some serious help. And this is a great opportunity to make them get out and do something, to do a little bit of exercise to help yourselves. So, anything
else? If they're not going to be able to come back and get to dinner, I don't know how they're going to play pickleball.
Well, what I'm saying is we can start at an earlier age. Yeah. You know, before they get to that point to where they've got to have a walker or they've got to have assistance getting up.
I started pretty early. I'm still on stroke. I still had a stroke.
Well, it affects people in different ways, Sam, you know.
Bill?
I've had bypass surgery, but I haven't stopped.
Bill, the complaints I have, several calls come that can't get through Georgetown now. You're blind correct Route 9. Said so many people here just don't know how to get. You're not against private enterprise, are you?
Well, I think you'll hear from Mr. Shell about the intersection there and what's going to try to be done there to correct some of this problem.
I think we need an overhead bridge there.
You're talking about 113.
The Wilson now. Bridge. I can hear you.
Yeah, the Wilson Bridge.
At least they can change the stoplight up here. Let them go right straight through.
Well, these are things that can be looked at.
Instead of holding people
but,
up.
But I can tell you this, Mr. Wilson. When I started as mayor in 2014, we didn't have this traffic as much as we do now.
Well, what we're doing try to get more.
You're taking responsibility for that,
yes,
too?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. for the businesses and the construction that we've created and the way the town looks with the scarecrows and the circle, more people are coming through this town than they ever have before. And I'll take that responsibility, Mr. Cole.
Thank you, sir. Please sit down.
So
Mr. Burke has a question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that you're looking at bathrooms and the motion also.
Yes, sir.
Is that because Georgetown's looking at that? Or because,
well,
why was that thrown in the
conversation? I know there's been a talk. I don't like porta potties.
I don't know anybody that does.
I have my concerts on Thursday night. There's something else, George, I'm responsible for is the concerts. But the 2-hour concerts that I have, there's porta potties. And people says, Billy, you got to get rid of these porta potties. And I hear it all the time, but I can't afford it right now. But with him looking at this, yeah, maybe I can come into a situation I can build one bathroom and put it where my concerts are. Your facility or the facility out there with the sports complex, maybe we can do a double men, a double women, and have it prefab, find out what the price is, and see if we can't generate the funds. I'm willing to go out and talk to people, see if I can't find sponsorship or find the money to try to make this happen.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Just come back with money.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you. It might be a good place to have your sign for your next election, Bill West for mayor, on the back of the porta potty.
Good morning. Council, for the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Bonner Fidel, and we're in the process of moving this project forward. And just a little bit of an update of the last time we were here, as the mayor has noted, we went to Planning Commission for the town of Georgetown on October 18th and received preliminary site plan approval, and also went to the Board of Adjustments for the reduction of the parking spaces as well as the drive lanes. And there again, the reason for that was because of the impervious area, because this area is pretty flat and there is a drainage issue out in this area. With that being said, we have also worked with Sussex Conservation District and Deneric to resolve the drainage issue in this area. There's been a number of studies done from the adjacent property owners as well as Sand Hill Road to figure out exactly the drainage watershed and where the drainage is going, and with the help of Deneric and also Conservation District, there's going to be a ditch that's going to be cleaned out from the property to Rudd Road, which the ditch has never been cleaned out in a number of years. So based on the study, we have confirmed that that's the appropriate way to drain this area, which is going to be a huge improvement. As of right now, we will be submitting our DLDOT plans as of today to the Department of Transportation, and which includes all the improvements out on Sand Hill Road, which includes the protective left lane and also the desalt lanes. To kind of talk about Mr. Wilson's concerns, the foundation is in a process of looking at two parcels and purchasing those parcels and donating them to the Department of Transportation up near the intersection of Route 9 and Sand Hill Road. The purpose of that, of those donations, and also the cooperation with the Cheer Center, is to improve that intersection, which I think we all know is a little bit of a headache. The intersection does not line up with each other. This will allow the intersection to be, you know, to come into to a four-way intersection. And a discussion with DLDOT, and there again, this will be a DLDOT project, is whether to put a signalized intersection there or a roundabout. but that is a decision that DLDOT's making, and they are pursuing a study to determine the best route for that. But the point is that that intersection will have a four-way intersection instead of offset like it is today, which will provide better flow and also turn lanes too, which are not there as we speak. The concern there was also stormwater management. As part of this project, there's a parcel in the basically behind Cheer Center that's going to be donated as well for the stormwater management. That's always been a concern of DLDOT. We've been communicating with DLDOT. There's been surveyors out there from DLDOT looking at the drainage of this area. So any improvements that are done in this area will be accommodated by the additional land that's going to be donated for the stormwater management. And you know, the other agencies are in the process. They're again working out the drainage issues with the Conservation District. Those plans will be submitted later this month, as well as the Fire Marshal. So the goal is to have this project completed by the end of the year, if not sooner, and hopefully start construction first of the year. Any questions?
Question to the council. Mr. Burton.
Say it again. The construction will be done the end of this year?
No. I said the construction documents and approvals will be done by the end of this year. Construction will start beginning of next year.
For the intersection?
No, not the intersection. For the fields themselves.
The fields.
Yes. Okay. I think Mr. Shell is going to go into the timeline, but the goal was to, with Bermuda grass, from the education I've received from Bermuda grass, because it's not like any other grass, has to be planted in the summer, so June, July, and then through the fall, you know, they're not going to play on it until the following year of 19. Yes.
So is the intersection improvements part of the approval process, or is that?
No, that's that whole improvement of the intersection is going to be dealt with through DLDOT. They have actually submitted a grant called a Tiger Grant to pay for those improvements. And they are pursuing, you know, studies and also concept designs for that.
But that will not be part of the DLDOT saying approval process you have to do this
no,
and that.
The approval process that we're going through is for the entrance. That is correct. I mean, the intersection is a DLDOT project, which they're going to move forward with the design and construction per DLDOT. It has nothing to do with our construction.
Okay.
Actually, let me just add a little bit to that.
Okay.
The DLDOT has supplied to the federal government for $7.5 million grant to fix the intersection. They think because of this being a public-private partnership and being a rural project rather than an inner-city project, they have a much better chance of getting that award than if it was done up in Wilmington, for instance. So they're submitting proposals for awards to DLDOT, is to the U.S. government, to the Department of Transportation. If they get the $7.5 million, we are under contract right now, or not under contract. We have contracts going back and forth between us and the lawyers for the two property owners. We have agreement on price. So the foundation that I'm a part of will buy those pieces of land, which will facilitate that intersection. But it doesn't have anything to do with when we do anything out on the sports fields. The best estimate that DLDOT has is they won't start the intersection if they get the award. They'll find out this April of 2018.
They'll know in 2018. The award will be granted in April of 18.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
But they won't be putting it on the docket to build until 2020. So everything with DLDOT takes a lot longer than anybody's patience has, but right. That's the way it is. So I think 2020 is when they would be, best case, when they would be working on that intersection.
What happens if the grant isn't approved? What happens to that intersection?
This intersection was on their priority list a while back. It falls off the priority list some years and goes back on other years. Right now, we have been campaigning with the governor and with the Department of Transportation, DLDOT, to move it onto as high on the priority list as we can. But every other intersection has its advocates that are doing the same thing. So I don't know where it is right now, but I think they realize this is an intersection that has to be fixed. The sooner the better. If CHEER builds more, if Sussex Academy expands beyond where it currently is, we have a lot of pressure. If the airport, the county airport, picks up more activity, there's going to be more and more pressure on that, and I think it's just going to be inevitable. They're going to have to get to it in 2020 latest,
right,
as far as I'm concerned. And obviously, if they get $7.5 million from the federal government, we're all happy campers.
Right. Because usually, right, the developers, whether it be the sports complex or CHEER or whoever, are asked to participate to intersection improvements, and that is not happening with the current plan?
In the case of our conversations with the Secretary of DLDOT, she was extremely pleased we were buying the property. It's a much faster process if a private transaction happens than if you wait for DLDOT to try to buy those properties. It's probably cheaper and probably much less time consumed in that process. So we went to both property owners, got their approval to say that they were willing to sell. We've now negotiated prices for both pieces of properties. We have contracts that we'll be signing hopefully in the next month or so. And we told the lady who's the head of DLDOT, we will contribute those properties in lieu of contributing cash. We have enough cash going to be spent up on the fields. So they were fine with that.
So that's your payment into the intersection.
Yeah, that's our contribution.
Okay. All right. Okay. One more question for you. Recognizing that this is a bad drainage area, right? Are your stormwater management ponds there? Right? I mean,
yes.
I look at that CHEER pond, and it's...
Well, you figure majority of this land's going to be pervious.
Pervious, okay.
So.
Yeah, okay.
More questions, Council?
Joe, you might need to answer this one. I'm not sure, but some of us, I know, Mike, we had the chance to go up to Delaware Turf, right? Was that last week?
2 weeks ago.
I lost track of my time. 2 weeks ago, which is that new facility out on Route 1, as we all know, north of, it's up in Kent County.
Frederica.
Frederica, right? Mm-hmm. And unbelievably beautiful facility. I think none of us, I guess was all invited to state legislatures and some of the council members, both Kent and as well as Sussex. First class. Todd, you were there too. So, I mean, it was an amazing facility. And questions that were asked along the way were, I mean, obviously their pathways and how they got to how they've gotten there, and also the timelines and the challenges. And I'm curious because I know it was mentioned that that overpass, you know, and the major dollars that have gone into the infrastructure for a sports facility. That's why it got done, right? That is attracting a lot of people from out of the state, more so than definitely some from within, but definitely that's a different business model than what we're talking about here today.
Different mission.
But as it relates to IG's point, the roads, once it was determined that this was going to happen and the funding was there, it all happened. To include that overpass, we're talking just about 2 years ago, I think I was told. So if the Delaware gods of roads can move mountains to get that overpass built to where it is today, why couldn't something along this lines? Because I have to tell you, it's not just the road improvements, but it's the capacity of the road. It's not just the improvements that are concerns for me. That's Route 1, right? Great, great spot. This is not that, and so that is of concern. And so how do we get more capacity on the road of Route 9 and around the mayor's town or through the town, let's say, because we want them to stop and shop and buy in your town, but not around, but through. But that is a challenge. And so my point, though, is they were somehow able to achieve it. What could we do here if this were to happen to get their attention that the roads are needed to be improved? I'd like to get your perspective.
One, I would be amazed if you were correct that it was 2 years before they, 2 years ago, they started talking to DelDOT.
Well, I think once it was allocated, once the money was, I think they knew they were going to get money. It also became a top priority, and so now we're seeing it. So,
yeah, and I hope we can be as successful with DelDOT. We have not been that successful yet, other than getting a commitment that they would file a proposal for the Tiger Grant to fix the intersection. If you're using federal dollars rather than state dollars, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier as long as you get the federal dollars. And this is a pretty quick turnaround. They applied in October, and they're going to learn the result of their application in April for the federal government. That's going to accelerate, in my view, this road, but I don't think it's going to accelerate it to 2019 consistent with when our facility opens, as much as I'd like to see that. So I can't answer the question any better than that, Rob, that the fact that they've done that is a great precedent for us.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
To say, come on, guys, this is a much easier road fix, much cheaper road fix.
Right.
You've got federal dollars, and they may have had federal dollars up there. I don't think they did, though. I think it was all state dollars. So in any case, we're doing everything we can with DelDOT to, and with the governor to push that as far as we can to get the intersection fixed.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. More questions?
I'd like to ask a simple question. I hear Georgetown Airport Road that goes around the airport. We've only been waiting about 9 years for highway. Say we put a main road in there. You know how much money we spent on this airport? It's actually through federal money. We spent probably at least about $5-10 million in that neighborhood, and yet we still have no road there. That comes. We done bought right away in from Merrill Safety Plant and came right by and bought the house right next to it on the other end, so you can put a road straight through there. It's never been done. So what makes us think we're going to all of a sudden going to jump ahead of the airport? That's not very important. After all, it is now become the coastal airport, so it's a pretty important airport, in my point.
Well, Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, just to comment on that, that's part of the Tiger Grant, too. That's what's helping. You know, as part of the application was the airport as well. It's more than just the sports complex. It's the existing conditions that are out there today.
Are you trying to say we're going to knock the Georgetown Airport out?
No. He didn't say that. Let's not get that confused. No, he didn't bring that up.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your, Mr. Shell. I want to ask you a question. You're talking about running around back there. You know where? You know who owns the building behind there, by the woods. You know who the company owns that?
Purdue.
That's right. You know what you got there? Chicken smell. It'd be like down here at Harbison. They put a big sign up there that says, "If you smell anything, call National."
Call Denrick.
Great. If you see anything, call Denrick. So that's what, if I was Purdue, I'd tell them be aware, try to send you guys somewhere else. We're getting headaches over here behind the Purdue. We're going to end up shutting down the Purdue chicken plant. We don't watch it. They'll have to move somewhere else.
Use the manure for fertilizer.
Not. Let's hope not.
Well, it's something to think about.
Has there been, Mayor West still here?
Sir?
He's still here.
Has there been any complaints from the citizens of Georgetown about the Purdue plant?
They're talking to us about doing away with their disposal anyway, so there's a talk of it being turned over to a private company, and I think it'll be taken care of tremendously if it does. So.
But are there complaints from your citizens?
No.
So it's not, I think the harvesting plant is a different one.
I have all those calls all the time about smelling. I don't even have no idea what's out there except for the telephone calls I get about the stinking plant.
Okay. Anything else?
More questions to council?
You're welcome.
Questions to council.
Joe's here. I've been thinking about this the last couple of days, Mr. President. I agree with. I think there's. We're trying to get there, you know. And I hear from the different, you know, conversations and things. There's definitely an economic impact. It's going to provide services. There's going to be added value to the quality of life here in Sussex County. All that stuff is all true. I believe it all. It's going to provide activities for all ages. The private-public partnerships, I think the county's had a reputation of working with in those areas with like the James Farm and the inland bays and stuff like that. And city and county partnerships, I think it's something that's our part of our jobs. We ought to be looking at that. But then I get down to the point where, you know, I'm a When I first was elected a few years ago, I was concerned about the lack of a county rec program. Then over the years, I've decided there's some charm about us subsidizing existing programs in different ways. And then also the county not having, you know, a big department and this department and the county getting bigger. And we do take pride in our low taxes because we provide very few services. And I joke sometimes, I say I'm proud of it that we don't provide many services. But we do. Very few people are complaining. You get the services other ways. Anyway, so with that in mind, I kind of mentioned it the other day to I think I mentioned to IG or one of them. Maybe just we, instead of a grant, why don't we give you a loan? And the loan is like a 0% interest loan because of economic development and these other things. And we stay out of the business of operating this thing and you keep an arm's length distance from it. We've given economic development loans to towns like Seaford and different things. And it's all about the terms. And we get Gina, our financial whiz, to make sure the terms are right, but we come up with some, you know, terms, and we'd have a lien against the property, and then you do your thing, and hopefully, and we hope you're successful, and we just look at that way, and then we don't have all the complicated things. In a couple of years, we might take it over. We do this and we do that, and I would prefer that the government side of it doesn't get involved in the private side and tell them you how to do it. I'd rather you all make, you know, risk your capital, risk and make the decisions, you know, at your level. So do you have any, I mean, what would be the pros and cons of, and anybody can speak up, of a lien, a loan instead of a grant? And I'm talking about a 0% loan.
That's helpful.
And only we can do that.
The other part that we would have to negotiate is, over time, the principal is reduced. So if it's $1.5 million loan, the loans usually have to get repaid. They got to pay interest along the way and got to get their principal paid. This facility won't make enough money, in my view, in a short period of time,
right,
reasonably short period of time, to begin paying back principal on the loan.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be dressed up as a loan, as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah, that's right.
That's fine, just as long as the terms suggest there's no interest to be paid and no principal to be repaid.
Well, that would be the part the our county staff, I'm not qualified to do this, but, you know, I don't have the background, but, you know, we would work out the terms and look at something like that. I don't know if that's something that you say, no, we don't want to do it immediately because of some reason that I'm not aware of, or if it's something maybe we could pursue. I think we could get to the result you'd like to see quicker if there was this, like, the detachment from us being involved too much and keeping us out of it and just, you know, making a loan.
Mr. Cole, if I could speak, a mortgage presumes that there will be some kind of repayment in the future, as Mr. Schell indicated,
exactly.
And that's not what's been discussed at this point, that there would be any type of repayment except the economic value to the community. So dressing it up as a loan, I'm not sure, gets you what you desire, because at some point, also with a loan, you have an end date, and if it's not been paid back, then there's a foreclosure action, and you're not looking at any type of foreclosure action in this. Now, a way to do what you're suggesting is some sort of MOU, memorandum of understanding between the two, and put the terms in that you want that keeps the arm's length with the county.
Well, again, I'm just throwing it on the table because I think that, as I've talked to, you know, amongst people and other people out in the public, it just some people say, yeah, it's great, but then other people say, we don't want the county, you know, getting it all involved and all that stuff. And again, I think you'd do a better job with that, our involvement. I mean, we could punish you and put Sam on your board of directors or something. And right, Sam?
Well, I've had to pay my bills, so that's a lot different.
Anyway, yeah. So anyway, is it something that, Todd, I mean, is it something that you think that between Gina, Todd, and Everett, and maybe IG, put one guy on, because you've got maybe more experience in financial, you know, issues more so than I do. Look at this approach. I don't know, and I don't know if it's approach that, like I said, Mr. Shell and Mr. Horsey and the rest of them say, I don't like it, or something.
I don't like it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I don't.
Just so I understand what you're talking about, a loan. Are you talking about we providing this $1.5 million with zero interest, but at some point in time they're going to pay us back that money? That we're going to give them that money and then write it off or something? Are we just saying? Are you expecting a payback, or it's going to be whatever?
I would say if we did, it's like economic development loans we've made, I think, in the past. We've got something with Seaford, I know, and I don't know how that works. I can't remember the details. I think we've given them $200,000, whatever it is, 0%.
But they pay that back.
But they're supposedly paying it back. I know that some things are forgiven over years by different institutions and stuff like that. I'm not suggesting that we do. I would just suggest that we sit down and see if we could come up with some terms that both parties would think that were workable. And again, a future county council can always change it, Mike.
Sure, I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? And again, with the success of the program and the benefits to the community may outweigh... Or we look at the economic development, the activity it's brought, and the benefits. There's a number of ways. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out on the table as I thought that it'd be a way that keep it not be less complicated, I would think, because
I think it just got more complicated.
Reluctance. No, I don't know. I just think if we can sit down, look at the terms, give them, you know, lend them the money.
Yeah, I think the what I would hate to have happen is somebody say this really is a grant. All the terms suggest it's never going to be paid back. No interest is paid. It's a sham. It's just wordsmithing, and that would be bad for you and me, and us.
Sound like a sham.
I think we need to be straight up about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a way to structure something that we can say this is a loan.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said,
pieces of a loan that I talked about, principal repayment being the most interesting here. That's part of the loan.
Maybe we make the loan to Georgetown. We loan it to Georgetown, and you know, as economic development, and then
there's an idea.
And we put a lien on the whole town, and then we'll own it.
Do you want the liability?
Anyway,
I don't want its debt.
No, it's just a way to look at it. I don't know if there's any. I don't know if it's something we could take a week. Is it something, Todd? In a week, somebody could sit down and maybe brainstorm on something like this. And even like I said, I don't mind if we get creative enough to say we make the loan to Georgetown, and then Georgetown and this foundation.
Mr. West, you have some comment?
Just added on to the 13, I'm already. Now, a lot of our loans, that's what they are. They're interest-forgiving loans,
mm-hmm.
where we pay the payments out to a certain year, and then the loan is forgiven. And I think it's a great way to do business, and I don't see us falling in anytime soon.
Well, okay, so you're implying that maybe you could be receptive to something, a discussion about this. Okay.
Yes.
I just make a motion that we look to try to.
Motion, yeah.
I'd like to. It's something else to look at, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Mr. Lawson, I'm sure you have something to say.
Yeah, let me try to navigate through this a little bit. The original intent, the original request to Sussex County was a funding contribution, and we will come up with some agreement on paper where we enter into a relationship with this foundation in exchange for this funding. I don't necessarily understand the benefit of loan versus grant if we're calling it a loan when there's no strings attached, so it's really not a loan, it's really a grant, and that was the original intent, I think. Now, if there's things or questions or concerns or the relationship between us and the foundation, I think these could be worked out in an agreement if, in fact, the council seems poised to continue this discussion and moving forward. I think the agreement of the MOU would be able to put any kind of conditions and promises that would make you comfortable. I'm trying to understand the benefit of a loan when it's not really a loan if we're not charging interest and not asking for a payback.
Just with the grant, I've had other organizations imply like, hey, how about us? You know, in other words, look what you did for them. You know, so the next thing, could this set a precedent of other, these other organizations coming up and wanting grants as opposed to borrowing money in a, through a lien or a loan or whatever. I'm just say, I don't know. It's just they, and again, it's all about the terms on anything you do. It's always the terms I've understood.
Yeah, I think, George, you're right, that if you made this this $1.5 million grant that we're requesting, other towns or other communities in Sussex County would say, how about us?
We're next.
Yeah. There's always that precedent worry. The reason I think you are protected is if you say to those people from wherever they come from, mm-hmm. if you go to the county council and ask for funds, what are you doing? What is the mm-hmm. private sector doing? Are they putting up 60% of the money, asking us for 40, giving us a right to buy the facility for a dollar?
Well, see, that's where
you don't like the
we may not want it. That's what I'm saying. Maybe this council wants it, but you know, a couple years ago, they said, why did we do that? You know, type of thing.
Whether you exercise that option or not is not really important, because it's going to go on. We're going to operate it, or you're going to decide it's time for us to be in the mm-hmm. parks and rec business and okay. let's make this our first park, or you decide not to do that. The fact that you have 5 years to look at what this facility does for economic development, for the county, for the kids, for the older folks playing pickleball or walking, if you feel the return on your investment of $1.5 million has been great, then a public-private partnership is a great way to hide yourself, mm-hmm. to guard yourself from somebody coming in and saying, we want to do a $4 million project and you need to give us $4 million. You can say, no, we have a model now. We're only partners in the parks and rec departments. Mm-hmm. And here's how we're going to do it, just like this. That was why we came up with this process of a 5-year look. If you don't like it, you don't buy it, and we continue to operate it. But we will put up 60% of the money. We'll put up the first $1.5 million. If you use those same terms when other people come to you, I think what you're doing is stretching the Sussex County Council's dollars to have 3 or 4 parks where you only paid a little bit of the price for doing it, and they operate it. Mm-hmm. So think about that. That's your guard against somebody walking in saying, hey, we have this lovely facility. We didn't get any money. The first thing is you should say is, did you ask for any? Did you make a case? And the second thing you could say is, here's our template for doing this, which we're using here with the Sussex Sports Center.
Did you say you're putting up $1.5 million?
We put up the first $1.5 million.
And that's...
And then you put up the second $1.5 million.
That's including the Cladwell you're talking about, the land.
No, that's beyond it.
You're talking about $1.5 million beyond the land, the Cladwell.
Yeah, right. Which so you're now a yes?
Yeah. Before I make a decision like that...
Get them on record.
I like to think about this day and a half.
Okay.
Burton, a day and a half.
The... I got two, and one is you know what's coming, and that's it's a first-class facility with no restroom. I mean, I got a hard time with that, and you're just going to have to change that somehow. So I just want to go on record that I'm still on record.
We know you are.
Okay. And then...
you're going to get to move that chicken plant.
So taking George's... Really what he's talking about is creative financing, right? And so the next step is really the contract, right? The MOU, whatever you call it, right? And so, you know, I can't make $1.5 million decision without seeing the contract. And because that'll tell you what kind of partnership we have, right? So is that where we are? Is that
no, I mean, it's in a way it is, G, but any business negotiation between two parties that are going to sign a contract, both people signing the contract, one purchaser, one seller, whatever it might be on a house, you've negotiated all the business terms ahead of time. What you're looking for is the legal document reflective of the business terms that you both agreed to. So you do an MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding, to make sure you understand the business terms, we understand the business terms, and we're both in agreement that those are the terms that should be then contracted, written by a lawyer into a contract, a formal contract. So it's a two-step process. You do the MOU first, which we're ready to do anytime that we get the word from you all that you're ready to do that. We'll get that in place, and then we turn it over to a lawyer to draft a contract. Contract goes back and forth between Everett and us and our lawyer, and we come to an agreement. Yep, that contract says exactly what we want. Then you sign. But you can't, it's very difficult at this point to say, here's my contract. Agree to it. It's a negotiation. Some things you want, like a bathroom, a permanent bathroom, maybe that doesn't get in there, maybe it does. And you may say, I'm not voting for it if it doesn't get in there. So there's all kinds of things we have to agree to before we spend money on drafting contracts.
Okay.
Why else? Okay.
We need some kind of contract with the state highway.
There you go. I would suggest at this point in time that we've heard the presentation, we've asked some questions, we're off next week. Everybody take a week or two to think about what we've heard, what you're thinking, and then we come back in December. Mr. Lawson, we need to put this on one of those two agendas to see if there's some kind of, we need to be, either move this thing forward or say we're not doing it, one or the other, in my opinion.
Yeah, as I say, we're just...
But we'll put on the agenda for some kind of action from council as to maybe instruct you to have a contract, MOU drawn up, whatever, that council would review, that kind of thing, so... Everybody okay with that? Take a week to think about it.
One last question. Are you finished with your presentation, or you had more coming?
No, I think the president was trying to cut us off.
No, I'm with you. I just got one more question, but I can hold off if you're going to present a little bit more.
We're going to do a little bit more presentation if we can.
Sure.
Is that all right?
Nope, I don't want to cut you short.
Okay.
I just want to address Mr. Cole. For the record, Bobby Horsley, Laurel, Delaware, Vice Chairman of the Foundation. You know, we're going to save time here. You've heard my story before about the construction side of it. But, Mr. Cole, I can tell you as vice chairman, I would not be in agreements with a loan. That our family would not like this thing called a loan. Because I agree with Mr. Moore. I know what a loan means. A loan means repayment. Mm-hmm. And I, no way, shape, or form would our side of the equation be in favor of a loan. So, for all the reasons that Mr. Shell stated, there's an ample argument to other organizations of why this project is different than other projects in the county. You know, what percentage of funds is being raised by the organizations. This is truly a question for yourselves. We're asking you, do you believe in the citizens of Sussex County and want to have a place where we can have active recreation? Because we got thousands of acres of preserved land that's just sitting there, whether it's being farmed or whether it's a wood sitting there. But there's no active recreation opportunities in this county, and this is what we're asking you guys for, to believe in our citizens and to invest in our community right here in the hub of Sussex County and develop a first-class park that will not only bring that you've heard about lacrosse and soccer players, but it's the, if I'm not mistaken, Joe, and you can correct me, but I think this is a certified cross-country course that would be one of a kind in Sussex County that would allow high schools to have their Sussex County cross-country meets. So instead of going to Kent County, instead of going to Newcastle, they would be able to come here to this facility, this facility in Sussex County, Delaware, and hold Interloping Conference meets. I think that's what the question is. Do you believe in us and invest in this project? Thank you.
Stay there.
Oh.
Don't leave now.
Talk about the timeline.
Continue.
All right, so timeline. As Zach stated, we're hoping to have plan approval hopefully end of the year, but with the holidays, I'm going to say January. The construction to start, you know, February, March-ish, with the goal of seeding the fields in June to July, the Bermuda fields, finishing the balance of the construction through the summer and fall. And our goal was to open up this sports complex in the middle of, or in spring of 2019. Let it have ample time to grow in. We don't want to rush it. We want to do it, you know, we have promoted it. Our family and the Shell family, we try to do everything top-notch, and we want this thing to be a top-notch facility when we're done with it. And if you so grant our request, we want to make sure we spend your money wisely and do it right, do it first class. Right?
Sure.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you.
I have one last question. More presentation? That's it? I'm just going to ask. It doesn't make a difference. I'm just looking at the numbers, and I asked Todd this last week. Gene was out of town, and so I will ask because I don't know what the answer is, and that is the request is a $1.5 million number, and I know when we as a council, as a body, as a government, when anything exceeds $50,000 or more, correct, we have to go out and get bids. So my question from this, we've never done this before, I mean, to the tune of this amount of dollars, this list, you know, that we are seeing, are we required to get bids of this work to ensure we're getting the best dollar for the taxpayers? I guess that's the question that I would have as being a steward of their dollars. We have to do that.
If we're writing the checks to the vendors and we're contracting with the vendors, yes, we're required to do the $50,000.
Okay.
But if it is a grant and we're giving it to a nonprofit, which is our requirement, the nonprofit can do what it chooses, and it's our choice by giving that what strings attached we want to provide. So if we want oversight and we want to do that, then that's your choice. But there's no requirement individually once we've given them the money.
Okay.
As a nonprofit.
Okay.
All of you have the financials in there, what we're going to spend money on out of the $4 million to make this park first class, with the exception of our bathroom facilities. I do want to address that.
There'll be five.
That's an ongoing negotiation.
I don't need to go through all the numbers unless you want me to. Todd asked me at one point to substantiate the numbers. Go to the people who you would use as your vendors and get bids. So we have done that. We've gotten indications of interest from the Sposato folks for irrigation, for the landscaping and landscape maintenance. We've decided we're not going to use them for grass cutting because it's too expensive. We will lease a lawnmower for the Bermuda fields, which takes a different kind of a gang mower than for the regular grass. So we'll lease two lawnmowers, and our support staff, the groundskeeper, will do the cutting. We'll do the lining of the field. So we're gonna use our labor more efficiently that way than paying somebody else to come in and add their overhead to it. Sposato has been wonderful as far as pricing everything that we've asked them to price. We had to drill a new well. We had to put in irrigation on all the fields and all the other grass as well. So it's going to be green and lush, and even in the middle of the summertime, because of the irrigation. So we think we've been very patient and careful to get the right numbers. If any of the numbers in there are wrong, they're too high. They're not too low. If you look at the number we said when we first looked at it, there was, out of the $4 million, $350,000 was a reserve for cost overruns where we were wrong, it did cost more, or for operating reserve in case the first couple of years we don't make money, which we don't expect to make money the first couple of years in operation. Now that reserve is up to $550,000. So in going through and scrubbing the numbers on construction expenditures, one item was two items are a total of $200,000 less expensive. So now our reserve is $550,000. So we're still going to try to raise $4 million. We're just going to have extra cushion for cost overruns if there are something we want to put in, like bathrooms, earlier than we anticipate doing right now. We're all for your bathroom idea, IG. I answered one of the questions verbally that's in writing, that we just did that at Sussex Academy. If you've been out behind the Sussex Academy, there's a bathroom facility, permanent bathroom facility, right in the middle of six soccer fields or lacrosse fields. That cost $725,000. We can't afford $725,000. Now, that building has a small concession stand, as well as bathrooms for boys and girls, and storage for athletic equipment. We would do storage and bathrooms in the same building. But my guess is another $500,000 for that building. And I think we need to get the project done first with porta potties for the first year or two. And if we feel like you feel, and we will feel, I'm sure, if we get all the bitching and moaning about not having clean facilities, we will take care of that and build it. And that'll be just another expense. We'll have to go out and raise more money, or if the contingency fund is still there, we'll use those funds for the bathrooms. But it doesn't make sense to us to put that in right now. It makes sense to us to get it planted, if you will, get the clubs committed to playing there, calling it their home field, getting its reputation locally raised. Those things will help us make that decision. But I don't think doing it right away is the right answer. And I think if you go around to most fields, like I'm assuming River has porta potties. I don't think they have a permanent facility.
I've never used one, so I'm not sure.
Use trees? Don't use trees.
I don't want to use that. I've never used their bathroom, so I don't know. They do have a permanent structure as a concession slash thing. So I don't know.
Okay. I'll put it back next to wood, so it won't have.
If I gotta go, I'm gonna find me a tree if I had to.
I did have a question. You said talk about building a well for irrigation, Mr. Mayor.
There. Yes, sir.
Does the city, is there water and sewer back at that location area?
Yes, there is. So the water would have to come from the in front of Cheer. The sewer, there's a brand new pumping station sitting back there that is available for any sewage.
Okay. And there is a well there, but it's not sufficient for what we're going to put on the field, but the water we have to put on the field. So.
And our code says you can't tie into our water system that's treated water for irrigation. So they'd have to put in an irrigation well.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So people in Georgetown that have irrigation or lawns can't use your water?
They can, but it's costing them dearly for the treated water.
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to think of one more donation out of you. We'll work on that. We'll work on that. Any more questions of council?
He already says broke, my might as well just quit.
Yeah. The grass cutting, though, you mentioned is on the fields and the mayor's picking up
He's just talking about out on the perimeter roads.
Right away.
Right up. Right
not
the
fields themselves, right.
Not the light green area.
No, right on the right side of the stormwater ponds.
Okay.
That's what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. But all the rest would be our responsibility.
Okay. More questions? Anything else, Mr. Shell?
I'd like to give one little bit of interest here. Over here to Milton, by the way, over at Cheer Center, they have a pickleball court right there. And they said, you know, it's not nowhere being filled.
Right on the parking lot, right?
Yeah, right in the parking lot. But we're not talking about building a roof over top of this pickleball, right?
No, we'll have a small pavilion where they can gather.
We're going to put a little black top down so you can play on it.
And we're going to put the first class facility, the pickleball club, is making sure we know what they want. And so we will make these really good.
If they go to Cheer Center, they can get out real quick, get on Route 1. They won't have to come clear back here and try to get out
one
of here.
One of the problems with pickleball, and we've got a couple experts behind me, when they play on facilities that are jury-rigged, like a tennis court or parking lot, which is what they do now because there is no big facility for it, they have some courts down in Selbyville?
We have them in Dagsboro.
Right. Injuries happen. You know, right. The people, in my view, most of the pickleballers are older folks like us who have found this to be a perfectly good exercise that doesn't take, they don't have to go back to their 30s to do this. They can do just fine at 60 or 70 years old, but they're also more injury prone. If we don't make this facility the best that we can for to avoid injuries, that's a mistake. So we're not. This is not just going to be put asphalt out there. And
may I ask you a question?
Yes.
How would you feel if somebody was coming intruding upon you, getting money from the state, from the county, paying and being in competition to you? How would you like to be in competition to the county that's putting up part of the money? Sport at the beach, I hear, is pickleball and has a baseball field.
No, they're pickleball.
They're baseball only, Sam.
They're pickleball inside.
No, they do have pickleball right here. Mike, I've done had somebody come tell me that.
Sam, I've met with Pete. They have pickleball courts inside, which is really where they have the batting cages.
That's out of weather. So you don't have all the wind bother them, right?
Well, it's wintertime. That's what it's for.
Well, it means there's going to be competition out here to sport the beach, right, if we got pickleball.
We're not going to have any competition with Pete at
all. I can understand why they want to come to our pickleball, to the county's, because it's going to be free. You're that's why you're not making a profit. You're not going to be able to pay back your loan. I can understand that.
You're making a mistake.
I make mistakes.
We're asking First State Pickleball to pay as a club a certain amount. If they want to that they want the courts available on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays at from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're going to pay a fee for that. That's part of the revenue that comes in to offset the expenses.
So you've got to help pay for it, correct?
Yes.
You're going to charge for getting it?
We're going to ask them for contributions as well.
Okay. That's fair enough.
All right. Any more questions?
I don't think it should be a free ride for anyone.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
As I said earlier, we will try to think about this next couple of weeks and then decide how we want to move forward with some kind of an answer, a yes or a no, so Mr. Shell and the group is not waiting, and we'll go from there.
Makes sense to me.
Warren, you're still up.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you, Council. Good discussion. Next item is the County Administrator's Report for November 14, 2017. Item number one, the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee will meet on Wednesday, November 15th at 6 p.m. at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center located at 21911 Rudder Lane in Georgetown. Copy of the agenda is attached. Item two, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for September 2017 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 189 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of September. Lastly, please note the council will not meet on Tuesday, November 21st, during the week of Thanksgiving. The county offices will be closed on Thursday, November 23rd, and Friday, November 24th, for the Thanksgiving holiday, and will reopen Monday, November 27th, at 8:30 a.m. Next regularly scheduled meeting for County Council will be held on Tuesday, November 28th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Scott Daly. Land Records Management System, RFP award and contract approval. You're up, sir.
Thank